Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate. We're going to pick up where we left off discussing occupational health with Dr. Michael Lax and Rosemary Klein, NP, both from the Occupational Health Clinical Center at Upstate. Now, as we broke for the news, we were talking about the fact that people are in these workplaces and the workplace is causing injuries or causing all kinds of medical problems. So it strikes me that, okay, now you can try to help the patient, but what do you do about the workplace? Do they just go back to the same workplace, Rosemary?
Well, it's good to get the person back in there if some changes can be made to alleviate the issues or processes that were causing the problem.
I mean, why on earth fix the problem if they're just going to go back and do it all over again?
Well, the problem with the patient if
right.
you can't fix the what caused it.
Exactly.
So sometimes we'll write work restrictions, which means that the person shouldn't go back to doing exactly what they did or make some alterations or we make recommendations. We also have an industrial hygienist on our staff who can make more expert recommendations about changing things in the workplace.
And what does an industrial hygienist do?
An industrial hygienist is an expert in the field of occupational health and safety.
Okay.
So there's safety things like putting a guard on a saw, but there's also other things like knowing a lot about chemical processes, for example, where maybe there could be safer substitutions which with things that are being used. Use safer ones instead.
Okay.
So,
Dr. Lax, talk to us about an example, a patient who has come to you and exactly what was done, because I've got to think that the number one goal would be to keep that person in the workplace.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, when they think about treatment in medicine, they think about it just in terms of medications or physical therapy or surgery, things like that. But when we think of treatment, it really is treating the cause, which means, like you're saying, going into a workplace ideally and fixing the conditions that cause the problem.
So give us an example of how that's done.
Well, I think, one case I can think of, we had a woman who was working at a public agency at a computer job all day long. And in her case, she developed problems in her hands, wrists, neck, shoulders, and this went on for a long time, and she kept coming back to the clinic, and we were able with her to send our industrial hygienist into her workplace on several occasions, actually, to look at her, how the work was set up, and to make recommendations about changes. For example, one time he changed where her computer monitor was situated.
Okay.
Another time a printer was too high and she was reaching too high, so that needed to be lowered. You know, a lot of it is sort of common sense stuff, but he came in and he made those recommendations, made changes, and that plus the treatment we were able to get her kept her working up to a point. And unfortunately, the story doesn't have a totally happy ending, because despite the fact that she kept working for a good, I would say 10 years at this job, even though she was having a lot of trouble. She loved her work, loved what she was doing, mm-hmm. kept doing it until she absolutely couldn't anymore. And the reason she couldn't anymore was not because of her employer or because of her work setup. It actually turned out it was because of the workers' compensation insurance carrier.
Really?
Who decided that treatment in the form of massage and some other things that she was getting, they decided, well, she doesn't need it anymore.
Oh.
So they cut her off. Mm-hmm. And she immediately went downhill, could not tolerate the job anymore, and was out before she really wanted to be out. And it's really a shame because she was a dedicated, long-term, hardworking person.
It is a shame because that employer, I mean, in addition to the fact that she's lost her job and her source of income and a job that she clearly loved, her employer's lost out too. That's an experienced employee who
right.
really liked being there and was doing a good job. So, of course, and it comes down to the money, which we've had that conversation before on the show. Rosemary.
But that was a decision by the compensation carrier, not by the employer
right,
itself.
Right. And I did
yeah.
understand that. Well, so now you've gone in and you've worked with the employer and you've worked with the employee. And in most cases, would you say that you come to something that works long term?
Well, I think that varies because I think, like we sort of talked about before, many of the people who come to us originally are coming when they're at the ends of their ropes. So they're coming in rather late in the course of their problem when they feel like, you know, I have a meat cutter who's worked for 25 years at a grocery store and he just can't hold his knives anymore. You know, by that time, it's a little late for us to be doing stuff that's really going to make him capable of continuing to do that work. So really, I think the key is for people to recognize their doctors to recognize the problems earlier on in the course of the illness. That's the crucial thing, because if that happens, then I think, yes, we have a real shot at changing that workplace and keeping that person working and productive for way longer than otherwise would be possible.
That's a great message for our listeners to hear, that if they think that there is anything at all work-related that is bothering them medically, that they should be talking to their doctors about the possibility of at least coming to see you.
Right.
And maybe nipping it in the bud so that they can keep working at what they're doing.
I think, though, that, if I could just start to interrupt you,
sure.
But, you know, in terms of, again, answering part of that question is, I think that because of the unique sort of mission that we have, I mean, part of our mission, a big part of our mission is obviously focusing on individual patients, but also we have a public health mission, which means that, you know, when we see somebody like our meat cutter or like the woman that I described at the agency who has that kind of problem, I think we recognize that there are others at that workplace who are doing similar kinds of work and maybe have similar symptoms or maybe are going to have similar symptoms down the road if they keep doing that work. So I think part of our job really is to sort of try and outreach to the company, to the workers, to the union, if there is one, to address those other workers and try and educate them and make some changes that maybe didn't help our patient specifically, but actually that patient is helping others because we recognize then there's this problem there.
Absolutely. You know, that makes so much sense. How welcome are you by the employers? I mean, are they happy to see you or are they reluctant at first? I mean, tell us about your reception.
Some are. We've been invited into some workplaces and have done some really good work, making some changes. And then other employers are more wary of having us come and prefer to use in-house resources to do that kind of thing.
Okay. I mean, I think from the employer's perspective, if I could put myself in their shoes for a moment, I would think at first, oh my gosh, they're going to come in, it's going to cost me a fortune because I'm going to have to adjust everything. But if I think down the road, in the long term, it's going to save me money. It's going to certainly save my employees. Is that your experience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I think that the impact that we have goes beyond just the direct visits that we make to the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what often happens, I think it happens more than we know, is that, you know, if we see a patient has a problem, we go to the employer, we go to the union, maybe if there is one, and we say, you know, there's a problem here, we'd like to come in, take a look at it. They may tell us, no, we don't want you to come in. But like Rosemary said, on the other hand, many times I think they do bring in their own resources, and many times they do make changes at the same time that they are perhaps denying that there's a,
right,
there's a
right,
problem
right,
with
right.
our patient.
Yeah,
yeah, so
yeah.
There's an impact that I think that does
That's
happen.
Great. How much of your work is educational in nature, where you're educating the patient, the employer? There's got to be a large component there.
There's a big component. I'd say when we see a patient, at least 50% of the time is involved in educating them about how to prevent further injury or illness and how to go on about that. And we educate workers in the community as well and offer educational programs and consultative services to employers.
You know, it just strikes me that this is such a huge thing. You don't have just patients. You have employers. You have the community. You have public health, certainly. And I know, too, that your clinic covers, 26 counties or something?
Yeah.
Yeah? And so what is the big territory, Dr. Lax? Where do you see people?
Oh, well, we see people at our at our Syracuse office, but we're developing an office in Canton, which we opened up several months ago and are now in the process of expanding to serve that North Country area. Also, we've had for some time a clinic in Binghamton to serve the southern tier, which we are also in the process of trying to expand.
Excellent. But then it can't just be the two of you that oversee all of this. You must have a pretty good-sized staff.
Not a huge staff, but we're wanting to make it bigger. And we recently hired a nurse practitioner and plan to hire two more nurse practitioners, one for the North Country in our Adirondack Clinic and the other for Binghamton.
Excellent. And then other support staff as well? I mean, can
Absolutely.
We turn this into a, you know, if you're interested in working in occupational
health? Yes, indeed.
Health?
We need, besides the nurse practitioners, we also need education and outreach coordinators
Excellent.
Or people to do the work.
Excellent.
To do the work.
Well, let's go ahead and give some phone numbers here, and also we'll give your web address, but then, of course, we always let listeners know, too, that they can find you through our HealthLink On Air website. But you have a couple of phone numbers that we can that people can call for more information. Do you have those, Dr. Lax?
I have the our office number is 315-432-8899.
Okay, and you have an 800 number as well?
Yeah, which I don't have in front of me.
I've got it here. 800-432-9590. And you also have a website, which is upstate.edu/CNYOHCC. So CNY Occupational Health Clinical Center. Did I get that right? Very
That's
good.
Right.
But as I said, people can always go to our HealthLink On Air website. Well, Dr. Michael Lax and Rosemary Klein, NP, thank you so much for coming by this morning. It's been a fascinating discussion. And I think that there were probably a lot of people who heard us this morning who are going to realize that there's some help out there for their health.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tricia.
And listeners, we are going to take a break. Please stay with us. This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.